The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Warning, if you don't want to hear adult language, it's already too late to fuck off.
This week's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by the MAGA brand lingual boot cleaning service, available now on the comment section of every goddamn news story out of Minneapolis. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
Hi, I'm Matt with 1T. I'm new to the whole atheism thing, but it makes a lot of sense now that I think critically about it. Because of going to school in Alabama all my life, I have seen the bad side of Christianity and conservatism, and because of it, I can officially tell you, beyond a reasonable doubt, we did in fact evolve from filthy monkey men.
Thursday.
It's January 29th.
And it's Free Thinkers Day.
Huh. Yeah, and the fact that it's also Curmudgeon's Day is a coincidence.
I don't think it is. I'm no illusions.
I'm Eli Bosnick.
I'm Heath Enright. And from Lord John Barclays, New Jersey, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Waycross, Georgia, this is The Scathing Atheist.
On this week's episode, Christians declare that he who is without boot should lick the first soul.
J.D. Vance is not allowed to hold the fetus trophy at the March for Life rally.
And we'll find out that the Bible Man franchise could, too, be more cheaply made.
But first, the diatribe.
Okay, I know how bad this is going to sound, but some of my best friends are Christian. And we mostly just don't talk about religion because I don't want to argue about it in my off time, and they don't want to argue about it with somebody who knows how wrong they are for a living. But it's always kind of burbling just below the surface, this palpable desire from them to show me, if not the truth of their religion's claims, at least their value, right? Here's what religion even does here. So it was in this vein that I found a message in my inbox the other day with the playful message, "See, sometimes our side does some good," above a joint message that was put out by a few liberal churches in Minnesota condemning the murderous federal rampage in Minneapolis. So I sent back, "Yeah, it's nice of the minority of Christians to condemn that thing the majority of Christians did now that it's directly affecting them." And I included the story about the protesters bursting in on the church service because their pastor was a fucking ICE agent, which is a great reminder of why we mostly don't talk about religion, I guess. But it's also a great reminder of just how low they want to put the bar for their faith to cross, right? Because here we have a fascist army occupying a U.S. city in the name of Christian nationalism, under the direction of a president put in office almost exclusively by Christians and by appealing to the unique prejudices of Christians. It's literally murdering people in broad daylight with impunity. So these churches get together and sign a strongly worded letter. And the bar for church does a good thing is so fucking low at this point that a Christian thought that was a significant enough accomplishment to prompt an eyebrow wiggle to his atheist friend. But of course, what we have to constantly remind ourselves is that when they're doing the weighing, there's no minus, right? When you or I look at religion's meager benefits, we're weighing them against all the terrible shit that religion does. But religious people have all kinds of creative ways of not my Jesusing that stuff away.
when a religious person does a bad thing in the name of religion, it's always the person and never the religion's fault, right? That person was misreading the gospel. They were corrupting God's word. They were losing sight of Christ's message. Some shit like that doesn't count. On base, not touching, can't get mad. And of course, once you've wiped the minus column clean, it's pretty easy for even the meagerest assortment of empty gestures and hollow words to look good. Those do, after all, weigh more than nothing. So when they say, here's an example of Christianity making a person more moral, they're not going to weigh that against all the examples of Christianity making a person more homophobic. When they say, here's an example of Christianity prompting a person to give to charity, they're not weighing it against all the examples of Christianity misappropriating charity money to sell their faith or reuse their hypodermic needles. When they say, here's an example of a Christian church opening its doors to the unhoused, they're not going to weigh that against all the examples of church leaders lobbying against politicians and policies that would reduce homelessness. It makes you wonder if the doctrine of universal forgiveness doesn't have its origin in self-interest, right? Like maybe when you have as much sin and bullshit on your ledger as the Christian church, it's best to prime everybody in advance to think a universal forgiveness is the highest ethical calling. I mean, if God forgives us for all of our sins, surely we can forgive him for his, right?
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight are two liberals the government hasn't killed yet, Heath Enright and Eli Bosnick. Fellas, do you hear the people sing?
Yeah, cross my fingers. Let's check back in when tomorrow comes.
Yeah.
Am I going to sing it?
And by the way, if you're not picturing me and Heath doing a little Fall of Rain right now, you are not the woman I married podcast listener.
All right. So in our lead story tonight, Americans are growing outraged now that ICE is killing the wrong color of people. In addition to the six people who have died in their detention facilities this year, one of whom, by the way, appears to have been choked to death by a guard.
Disgusting.
They also gunned down 37-year-old poet and mother of three, Renee Good, on January 7th. And most recently, at least at the time of this recording, they murdered Alex Preddy, a VA nurse who had the audacity to not be sufficiently scared of them.
Just checking the news. Yeah, not a third one today. Just
today,
now.
Yeah, not yet. But by the time this comes out, who knows? And of course, despite official statements from the highest level of government that Preddy was coming right at him, Americans don't seem to be buying it. Their outrage is spilling into normally apolitical spaces like golf groups, cooking influencers, and r/cat bongos, Reddit dedicated to playing your cat like they're a teeny little drum.
What?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're having a big debate about it. Yeah.
That's the rest of my day. You guys go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got it. Because, of course, despite what the bots on even mainstream media posts about this on social media would like for you to believe, for the vast majority of Americans, gunning us down in the street for no reason does represent a red line.
There's a drunk guy walking into the simulation room. Okay, this'll do it. The Nazis kill a lady named Good and a guy named Pretty and a baby called Innocence. Fuck, why won't they revolt? And look, I don't love that it took for us to be the ones getting shot for this to be the case, but you know, it's 2026. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I am going to do that. Lots of the country heard about Renee Good getting murdered, and people were like, okay, that's your one.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Also,
I don't know how cars work.
Hey, how about this? No more guns, no cops, no Gestapos, no civilians, no guns. You just don't get guns. If you want some, I don't know, if you want venison, get better at tackling. We don't need regular people having guns.
Yeah, man up.
Now, of course, there's nothing so openly fascistic and untrue that America's Christians won't line up in favor of it. So despite the widespread condemnation of the killing from even traditionally conservative spaces like gun rights advocates and even some Republicans in Congress, there's still plenty of Christian leaders willing to line up in favor of it. And much of their defense seems to amount to like, well, you know, hey, when you're licking their boots, they can't shoot you in the back of the head without risking hitting their own foot, right?
It's called rendering unto Caesar, guys. Mm-hmm. It's actually super important to God. Look it up.
Yeah, I've been doing a new thing with my Tree of Liberty, actually. I'm using ice cum instead of the blood of tyrants. Don't worry about how I get the ice cum, but it makes it easier. It just makes the whole thing easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, right through a hose.
So we're going to start with pastor, missionary, and man who lacks the noive, Sean Fecht. He took time off of praising violent Christian supremacy in song to issue advice in the form of a tweet that read, quote, how not to get shot by ICE. 1, do not resist arrest. 2, also do not resist arrest while touching a loaded firearm, end quote.
Sorry, one second, darling. I'm just writing a tweet. How not to die at Auschwitz. Be a problem solver, not a problem creator.
Right.
Give up your seat to the old people on the train. Just don't fuck up the vibes in our Holocaust.
Right. Yeah, now there's plenty of shit wrong with that tweet, including the fact that it makes no fucking sense to have a two that is a subset of one on a fucking list. But most importantly, the murder is on video from multiple angles, and there's no evidence whatsoever that Preddy ever touched the gun on his fucking hip, which, importantly, had already been removed by an ICE officer before he was shot for the first fucking time, right?
And he's fully allowed to have that gun.
That too, yeah.
Just to be clear.
Super important. But damn telling, though, that even this asshole wasn't willing to go as far as claiming that Preddy pulled his gun, which was the official story at the time of the tweet. Right. It also probably bears mention that resisting arrest is not a capital crime in the U.S., as it turns out.
Yeah, dude, the founding fathers that you cannot stop sucking off every third sentence used to tar and feather the mayor when crops didn't grow. They would hate you, Sean. Do you know they would hate you? They would hate you.
The Irish actually had it worse during slavery. I've heard a lot. There's books about it. We had a very tough time, my people.
So we got a more detailed version of the same thing from poor man's Matt Walsh, Joel Webben, who rooted his bootlicking in the Bible. He quoted Romans 13, which reads, well, this is the relevant passage anyway, quote, "Whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment," end quote. A sentiment that I'm sure he was all about back during COVID, right? And of course, which will evaporate again the nanosecond a Democrat is in charge of something.
Okay, but President AOC, you heard him, right?
Yeah.
Right between Joel's eyes when you get first day. And I want you to swear in on Joel Webben's corpse, okay?
Hello, Republican congresspeople and Supreme Court justices. I'm President AOC. I'm going to shoot you and pardon myself. Well, I'm going to do that, but I don't even have to do that because I have immunity for this official act.
Okay,
anyway,
it turns out
I'm going to do that, or you can vote to ban explodey tools of death like this one I'm holding right now. I'm not going to count to three. I'm going to count to 2.5. So
there you go. Yeah.
Get in there.
Wait, let me do Anthony first and then I'm going to count. There's no stopping what I'm going to do to Anthony.
and look, to be fair, a lot of Christian leaders have condemned the murder of Preddy. Even some of the ones that like normally simp for all the Trump anti-immigration bullshit. But most of the ones that put him back in the White House fell right the fuck in line, and they pretended that Preddy did whatever the accusation du jour turned out to be. And as for like the more mainstream ones, like the Southern Baptist Convention, the best they could manage was a very audible silence.
Mm-hmm.
And in geocaching news, what if God is a space alien on a super sweet rocket?
Mm.
And what if heaven is actually a galaxy of paradise hurtling through outer space, but we just can't catch it because we're not moving fast enough to compete with the speed of light? And if we're cool right now, what if we can zoop out there when we die? These are the questions with, of course, your stoned friends at 3 a.m., but also they were the questions that finally got answered last week by a scientist.
Huh.
Yeah, that scientist is Michael Guillen, a former physics instructor at Harvard University. And he published an open essay on the topic in the prestigious science journal called Fox News. And the title is, well, it's tricky. It's a question and then a maybe statement and then another question for the title. The title is threefold. It says, is heaven real? Science may reveal where God's eternal kingdom exists. Where exactly is heaven? End of my title.
I bet Harvard's proud.
Hey, folks, we'd just like to remind you of our Ted Cruz connections.
Mark Zuckerberg,
that lawyer guy who does the war crimes. There's lots of folks to focus on. Okay, but seriously, Michael, if I have to put up with these questions, I expect you to pass me a joint at some point, right? Those are the rules.
Yes, exactly. And you have to forget what you asked way before I can finish my answer. Thank you.
And a big thanks to Chester for sending a link to scathingnews@gmail.com. Chester gets to spark the next joint, even if he doesn't roll it.
Okay, so I'm sorry, but like my friend who I would have been having these conversations with at 3 a.m. when I was a kid was Chester. That's fucking funny.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
So here's what we learned from this man of science in his essay. Guillen is going to zero in on a tricky concept in astrophysics. It's called up. Most lay people don't realize this very simple idea, but up is where outer space is. Outer space is up. Mm-hmm. And that relates to some key information in a physics book called the Bible. In the Bible, it says the people are looking up at God in heaven.
It does.
And that tracks with some other moments in that science textbook when God is looking down at humans on earth. It all tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So with that established, Guillen writes, quote, imagine boarding a nuclear-powered rocket and traveling straight up into deep space. Will you ever reach a point far enough up into space that you finally reach heaven?
No. Hey, Michael, let's see how fast we can run from our office to the university psych department. You ready? I'm going to time you, buddy. Are you ready? Here we go. Come on, fast guy.
So I'm sorry. Does he think we all have the same up? Right? So if you're a flat earther, you have to disclose that at the front of your article, okay?
Yeah. So before you guys laugh off the idea, consider this.
No.
Too late.
Okay. Just now, that was me and also an exact quote from the article.
Okay. Well, the no was just me, everybody.
Well, I said it
should have been in the article.
Okay. Here's what Guillen tells
Editor's
us.
Note. No.
Here's what Guillen tells us to consider. There's this guy named Edwin Hubble. Maybe you've heard of him. He's got a fucking telescope named after him. Mm-hmm, he's also a scientist. And he discovered with science that galaxies are rushing away from each other and there's a pattern to it. That pattern is called Hubble's Law. And Guillen describes it for us in terms of the uppishness concept. Quote, the farther up in space a galaxy is located, the farther it is away from Earth, the faster it's moving away from the Earth and everything else, end quote.
Heath, you got to stop quoting from this article. You're going to give Noah another heart attack.
Well, so far, I mean, like, other than shoehorning up into there, he at least got Hubble's law right, but that's the last thing he's going to get
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's going to ramp right down from there. But here's where it gets really interesting. Again, that was me and the next sentence of the essay exactly. Guillen continues... But
he's spinning around in his chair at us in his article. But here's what you haven't considered, words on a page.
We saw you spin away and then spin back. You kind of took it away. All right. He continued. But here's where it gets really interesting. Theoretically, a galaxy that's 273 billion trillion miles away from Earth would move at 186,000 miles per second.
Relative to what? Mikey, right? Because if it's us, then we're also moving 186,000 miles per second away from it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the speed of light. He did correctly sort of identify the speed of light, but he missed relativity. He's going to try to go back for it later, but not to help
not
out
really.
With what Noah just said. He continues, that distance way up there in space is called the cosmic horizon. That means you and I can never reach the cosmic horizon. Not even aboard the most souped-up nuclear-powered rocket imaginable.
Stop saying nuclear-powered. Because nuclear power was not the thing.
Really?
That was the difference
not the issue.
For me.
It's not the issue, yeah. Because, as Einstein explained in his theory of special relativity, only light and certain other non-material phenomena can travel at the speed of light.
Okay, the addition of angels to Einstein's theory aside, is heaven located exactly, though?
Great question. That was Eli and the next sentence of the essay. Continuing, so then where is heaven located exactly? It's entirely possible heaven is located on the other side of the cosmic horizon.
Okay, so the whole article is, guys, I found the thing science can't check. So we can just put all our bullshit in here, guys. They can't check.
So I wrote a science essay about something that's uncheckable by science.
Pretty roomy here in this gap. Roomy. No one's ever going to fill this.
So according to Guillen, here's the why. And his why, it's going to be fourfold this time.
Ooh.
One, according to modern cosmology, an entire universe exists beyond the cosmic horizon. But it's permanently hidden from us because we can never reach, let alone cross over, the cosmic horizon.
Did you hear that, podcast listener? It was as if a thousand voices of a thousand cosmologists cried out at once in unison.
Okay, so translation so far. One, far exists. Got it. We agree. So far, we agree. Okay.
Two, our best astronomical observations and Einstein's theories of special and general relativity indicate that time stops at the cosmic horizon.
What?
At that special distance, way up there in deep, deep, deep
oh my God.
Space, the deeps are threefold, there is no past, present, or future. There's only timelessness.
Okay, so now you're just making shit up. Everywhere is beyond somewhere else's cosmic horizon.
No, exactly. You start here is where you start. You have to start here.
Guys,
please don't interrupt.
Okay.
Three. I said it was fourfold ahead of time. Three. Unlike time, however, space does exist at and beyond the cosmic horizon, which means the hidden universe beyond the cosmic horizon is habitable, albeit only what? By light and light-like.
Jesus Christ.
My pillows.
So, okay. Well, wait. Prove that unicorns couldn't live there, man. They're fast. Super fast.
Ooh.
And four, according to modern cosmology, the cosmic horizon is lined with the very oldest celestial objects in the observable universe.
Well, oh, my God.
That means whatever exists beyond the cosmic horizon predates these oldest objects, predates the so-called Big Bang, predates the beginning of the observable universe.
Oh, God, that's why he says it's timeless at the... Okay, so Herbert is humiliated right now. Okay, so to be clear...
I'm humiliated.
They already were.
There's not, like...
Now more.
...older shit at the edges of the universe.
Because it went out.
No, it's just that the light takes so long to get... to where we are, that we see older shit because what we see is light. But the stuff at the fucking edges is the same as everything else now. Also,
it worked its way in.
There are no fucking edges. There's just a furthest we can see. That's not the edge of the fucking universe. God, how embarrassing must it be to be a moderately informed Christian that had to like read this shit?
Yeah, those three people must be like pretty mad.
Francis Crick is so glad he's dead right now. He's like, oh yeah, cool, love it.
But I did miss out on that article by Michael Guillen. So,
yes, it's great. And I'm hanging out with all these My Pillows. Why is everything so old up here?
Okay, you guys sound very curious. Sounds like your interest is peaked. So now you must be wondering, what can we reasonably speculate from there?
Why this guy is no longer at Harvard.
Oh, yeah. His medication schedule. I want to take a guess at that.
Well, according to Guillen, quote, all these modern scientific realities and others are why it's entirely reasonable to speculate that, one, heaven is indeed located up there, way above our heads and way beyond the visible starlit universe, just as the Bible indicates.
Unless you're in the southern hemisphere, in which case hell is actually up. It's weird. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you gotta be careful because you hop over that horizon, you're ready for the blowjob.
So
fountain.
Easy to mix these up.
Fire demons.
Two, heaven is inaccessible to us mortals while we're alive, just as the Bible indicates.
Except for the multiple occasions in the Bible where mortals go there. Try to ignore
sure,
those ones.
Sure.
When they were very light, they fasted first.
Three, heaven is inhabited by non-material, timeless beings, just as the Bible indicates. And four, heaven is the dwelling place of the one who predates the universe, the one who created the universe, just as the Bible indicates. So there you have it. QED from a scientist of science. God's house. It's in a galaxy moving the speed of light.
It's old. And it's a very old house.
It's pretty old. And if you want to find it, you're going to want to turn into a light being and go up. If you see a restaurant, you went too far. There you go.
Sorry.
If you see an Applebee's, you went the wrong way in time.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
You were in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah. Exactly.
And in Bethelusionists news, you know, there are a lot of benefits to this job. The money, the fame, the sexual power.
And I'm reporting you to Can again.
But
there are some real ones as well, such as the near encyclopedic knowledge I now possess of Christian weirdness. While others at the atheist dinner party may chuckle at the Westboro Baptist Church and Joel Osteen, we here at Scathing Atheists know the real shit. The deep cuts.
Yeah.
Like Bethel Church, which is back in the news this week after they got caught doing some fucking TikTok tarot reader ass magic tricks and pretending it was prophecy.
Oh, okay. Because a bunch of your magician colleagues got mad about Bethel stealing their bits and you heard about it from them. Got it.
Okay. So I'm totally with you on this, Eli, though. It's like when bad movie neophytes tell us about The Room and Plan 9 from Outer Space, right? And we get to just like crack our knuckles and tie on our fifth degree
exactly.
Black belt. Yeah. Yes.
I think Eli was a ninth degree. Ninth?
Just a second.
Parents couldn't afford.
Just third. A second. Hands are still registered as weapons.
Yeah.
Should probably go to Minneapolis and help out.
You could kill me with just your thumb.
Just get inside their guard. Yeah.
I could.
That's a second degree.
Hold your wrist and don't. Ow. Stop. Don't give it. No, make him.
No,
hold
come, your,
at, me
like
come
this.
At me like this.
Totally limp. Let your whole body totally limp. So first off, big thanks to Hemet Mehta for lovingly laying the story in our inbox at scathingnews@gmail.com. I may be banned from Hemet going live on Facebook because of certain true compliments I gave him, but you can check out everything he's doing at friendlyatheist.com. Just, I guess, don't mention his feet at all because that's a crime now. Anyway, if you're unfamiliar with Bethel Church, they're Christians who mean all the stuff Christian people lie about meaning, like prophecy, raising the dead, and magic powers. In fact, they have a magic school that has been featured quite a few times on our show mm-hmm. for the times that their students have tried to walk through walls, tried to cure COVID at the start of the lockdown, and lest we forget, tried to walk through walls.
Ow! Fuck.
That was a clip from
we brought a clip. So, okay, these guys laid on the graves of other people to perform a ritual they call grave sucking. And that didn't even make the list of three. That's how awesome this church's insanity is.
God, it's so good. Well, with a student body like that, you can imagine how well the adults hold on to reality. And this week, Mike Winger, a conservative theologian YouTuber, published a nearly 6-hour long video about one of their ministers, Sean Bowles, and his gift of prophecy, which turned out to be looking people up on Facebook.
Mentalism, yeah.
Huh.
So in the video, Mike explains that Sean's so-called prophetic ability just happens to line up exactly with when Facebook introduced its search feature,
huh,
accompanied by clips that might as well show Sean scrolling through his phone while he talks to God.
Okay, I'm getting somebody in the room named Siobhan. Wait, prophecy. God is telling me it's pronounced Siobhan. I'm getting a Siobhan.
And God is telling me, Siobhan, that you're an alum of the School of... I'm sorry, God is actually saying, never mind. God
never
said,
mind.
Never mind on that one.
Go Bears. So look, this 6-hour long video would take a really long time to break down. And also, Mike Winger sucks. And so a lot of the issues he has with Bethel are that they Jesus the wrong kind of Jesus. So instead, if you'd like a full rundown of this story and all the craziness that Sean's gotten up to, I recommend you check out Hemet Mehta's YouTube channel, where I am not yet banned, where he and Promise Backlund, who listeners may remember from her appearance on episode 357 of our sister show, God Awful Movies, break down the whole thing, including which controversies you should care about. And spoiler alert, you should care about a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally tonight.
I didn't dox her. She used her real name in the article. For clarity, for those of you who know, she used her name.
And finally tonight, in work-life balance news, we have a story about J.D. Vance, his very busy schedule getting even busier, and the March for Life rally. And no, that's not a rally to protest all the murdering that ICE is doing. It's a rally to stop us from murdering all those babies, as we are wont to do, as pagans. According to JD, during his speech at the event last week, the debate on abortion is, quote, a decision between God or paganism.
C. See, there's your problem, JD. You were already losing, and now you just threw in maypoles and shit for the other side, man.
Right? I never understood how it's between kneeling and supplication and trying to stay awake through boring, spittle-filled speeches and dicks out drug parties was such a winning argument for these guys.
So, here's what we heard from Jan Stance. He started by listing all the great things that the administration has done for the anti-choice movement. For example, they stacked the Supreme Court with Christian right zealots who reversed Roe v. Wade. Yep. They gave pardons to criminals who crimed at abortion clinics. Yep. And they pulled all the funding for vaccines made of a fetus that got aborted in Amsterdam in 1972, which is also sort of true. And then he made the natural segue to baby skeletons at brothels.
What?
Out of absolutely nowhere, he starts talking about an academic paper he recently read on that topic.
Huh.
You know, just a chill afternoon and you hop on JSTOR and you look up pagan fuck baby skeletons on their database of academic journals. And he told the crowd, quote, "We have to remember that in the ancient pagan world, discarding children was routine. From the skeletons in brothels to the child sacrifice of the Mayans, the mark of barbarism is that we treat babies like inconveniences to be discarded rather than the blessings to cherish that they are." End quote.
Oh my God. One hooker keeps a baby skeleton for an excellent bit, by the way. And you guys just got to bring that up forever.
Oh man, it's a good thing there's no Christian brothels, huh? Or hey, it's a good thing that they never found any piles of skeletons beneath schools run by his exact flavor of Christianity yeah, exactly. All over the fucking world. That would, Shad sure put some egg on his face, wouldn't it, if that ever
Why
happened?
Why would you bring up skeletons of children? Okay.
Didn't even do a
You're
bit.
Catholic.
Maybe they did a bit
well,
with them.
Here's the other important detail. J.D. Vance was already on board with the government controlling every uterus and forcing people to give birth, but he got extra panicky about this topic recently when his wife, who very clearly hates him, Second Lady Usha Vance, became pregnant. Now, okay, I can't possibly imagine that another human being was willing to have sex with J.D. Vance, but they already have three kids, and now they're expecting another one this summer. So, I don't know. It's got to be like a salmon spawning thing, but in reverse, you know? Like, JD spawns into a couch, and then it gets collected later when nobody has to look at him. Well, given all that, and the fact that he's a garbage human being, and he knows it, JD clearly got worried about the safety of his Band-Aid baby, and he started ranting about pagans, like, I don't know, maybe Hindus, for example, killing babies in brothels. That's what the pagans do. And of course, he described baby making as the only path to human fulfillment in life.
Yeah. So in case that wasn't clear, his list of pagans includes his goddamn wife.
Yes, exactly. But of course, nobody at the rally gives a fuck about J.D. Vance because they're pretty sure Trump's going to have a third term at least, or maybe they'll get Tucker Carlson to jump in. So the crowd was just waiting for JD to finish up so they could all hear from the Fuhrer. Sadly, though, Donald couldn't make it, but he did appear for a quick little Zoom call. Well, he did a pre-recorded video, like he was cranking out a quick cameo request that morning on his way out for the March for Life. So basically, Trump gets on a screen and he says, "Hey, everybody, thanks for the invite. But my brown shirts did a murder and I got to make sure they don't get in trouble for that. And, well, we've got another one tomorrow, another murder. So I couldn't make it to your March for Life this year because of the murder." And then Trump got a little snippy. And okay, this is weird, but honestly, I would have felt the same way if I was in Trump's headspace. Trump reminded everybody, like, "Also, I destroyed Roe v. Wade, assholes. That should be enough for another couple of terms at least." So that's how obnoxious these people are. They made Donald Trump look reasonable by comparison in some weird way. Also, I made a meme and I'm kind of proud of it. I made a good meme.
Okay, podcast listener, one, Heath did make a meme. It's excellent. Patrons can check it out at patreon.com/scathingatheist. And two, if it seems like Heath maybe descended into a little psychosis at the end of his story there, I think we all earned a little psychosis this week. Let him have it.
Yeah. Okay.
Also,
well,
he made you a meme.
Now that I know I've got a little psychosis to get at, I think we need to wrap up the headlines right there. Heath, Eli, thanks as always.
Jumanji.
And when we come back, we're going to step into a phone booth and put on that breastplate of righteousness once again. Over on our sister show, God Awful Movies, every movie we watch seems too long, even when it's only an hour or so. So it seems strange to say that some things are actually too short for that show, but some things are, which is why we need another installment of
God Awful Minis.
So tell us, Heath, what will we be breaking down today?
We watched the Bible Man animated, whatever the fuck, I guess they made some animation versions of it. The episode is called The Mayor of Maybe Doles Out Doubt. It's the story of Christianity projecting so fucking hard and assuming that evil atheists are running elaborate schemes to prey on kids. But that's you,
yeah.
Christianity. You do that. Atheism just happens. We don't have to do it.
That's the natural state. Yeah, and Eli.
The second you run out of candy, it's on. Yes,
exactly.
How bad was this mini?
Well, if you love Bible Man, but you wish he was a team of useless Christian fucks until the end of the episode, you will love this pixel art.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So to be clear, for those who don't listen to all of our shows, Bible Man is an existing property that had 32 direct-to-video episodes produced in various spurts through the 90s and aughts. And we've subjected ourselves to more of them than I'd care to recall. But apparently there are also 26 animated episodes that only run about 12 minutes apiece. So get ready for more of these in your future, I guess.
They created a segment for us.
Yes.
Legally, can they call it animation? I don't want us to get ourselves in trouble.
Right, right. Animation, animation. Animation, we'll call it. So we open up with Bible Man credits, which, to be fair, could never compete with a live action version, but they're still pretty fucking awful.
Yeah. Somehow they're the laziest credits and also way overdone. So it's this. It goes, Bible Man, Bible Man, Bible Man, Bible Man. And it's that. But then there's a fucking female acoustic breakdown in the middle for no reason. She's just
right, she's just like, I'm going to sing a different song, damn it, a different type of song.
The theme song gets in a fight with itself. So it's just the Bible Man thing like I was doing. And then out of nowhere, she comes in and she's like, there's actually a whole Bible team. It's not just Bible Man. I'm singing now.
Yeah, differently. There's fucking Bible Girl and Bible Woman. Bible Man has gone woke, y'all.
Yeah. Also, just in terms of what happens during this intro, Bible Man causes what appears to be a giant car crash.
Yep.
He kidnaps two kids and like, you want to say like, oh no, context, he's saving. They're terrified.
They kidnapped
two kids and they animated them as two terrified kids who got kidnapped.
Yeah. Well, you know, he left their parents behind. It's really the thing.
Bible Man appears to be a domestic terrorist in his own intro, just for the record.
Yes. Yeah.
Ahead of his time.
he also has a Bible mobile that appears to be, I'm going to say, a cross between a Cybertruck and a hearse that has a big cross on the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, all Cybertrucks are hearses if you get dinged a little bit.
Then we get our opening episode title. And our opening Bible verse, right? Now, the episode title, as we already mentioned, is The Mayor of Maybe Doles Out Doubt. The verse is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek.
The Jew, guys. The Jew.
Yeah, we have salvation for him, if you can believe that.
Should we come out swinging with a hard J at the beginning of our Christian Jew cartoon
also,
for kids?
Can I say that if you have to open with, I'm not ashamed of my true beliefs about the universe, it's not a great start for your argument.
Sure isn't.
And if you have to start with, like, I'm not ashamed of anything, it's not great for your argument. That's the first thing they do.
You're probably wondering if I'm ashamed, I said as my first sentence.
So then we open up on a bunch of folks piling into a church service that is going to be led by none other than fucking Senior Pets.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes, we have a Mexican voice impersonation here that would make Speedy Gonzalez cringe.
Yes. Yeah, so Pastor Pets is welcoming everybody to church, but this little girl, Emmanuel, doesn't want to go to church. She was listening to this podcast, you see.
And the little girl, she's talking like straight to the camera, like almost, you know, like a Brooklyn. She's got a wad of chaw.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm on fucking church.
So the animation in this show is so terrible that for the first three times they show children chewing the magic atheist chewing gum, I just thought like, oh, they're as bad at mouths as they are at everything else.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, but that's what we're going to learn here, right? So we see Pastor Pets. He looks around and all the kids are chewing gum and doubting God. All the gum chewing kids are going like, I don't want to go to church. So he asks Emmanuel where the gum came from. And then we see him walk the presumably 11 steps to the giant carnival tent, giving away free atheist gum to children. Like, I don't feel like he needed Emmanuel to narc for this.
It's so crazy. It's like somebody evil is behind this. Cut straight to Waluigi giving away BLZ atheist gum at a carnival.
Also, the gum is called BLZ.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's bubble gum.
BLZ bubble gum.
Yeah. You know, this fucking cracked him up at the Bible Man animated show writer's room.
Entire episode written around that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They yep. put off someone's suicide by one day with BLZ bubble gum.
Right. And just to be clear, they're talking about atheist gum. It's going to be atheist gum, literally.
Yeah.
So they were decide on, they were like, all right, well, what's a good metaphor to represent evil atheism? Carnival gum? That's yeah. what they're going to do.
Right, yeah. Waluigi in a pinstripe
Richard
suit.
Richard Chawkins. No, Beelzebub. Yeah. We're doing Beelzebub.
That's really good, though.
That's pretty good. So this is the mayor of
Daniel Dentine. Actually, these are the only puns that were easy for me in my whole life. So, I'd like to spend the rest of our radio program just gently whispering my atheism gum puns as a backing track.
So this is the Waluigi character. This is the mayor of Maybe, and all these kids are taking the shit out of some candy from strangers, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, right. There are a lot of problems with that. The amount of gum that these children are eating. And I know it's magic and turning them into atheists, but I'm way more concerned about how many children manage to stuff this much gum into their mouths without their parents noticing.
Right.
Where are these parents? Carnivals are terrifying. You shouldn't be letting your little kids run around carnivals.
All right. So then as Pastor Pets is walking up to the booth with the free atheist gum, a bus pulls up and they pack everything up real quick before he can get there.
Yeah, they do an entrapment. I really wanted there to be a scene with Mayor Maybe like doing the dodging through the wires.
The lasers?
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, but all he has to go on is this wrapper. And then so we kind of like back out of a doodly-doo. Right. And this, like, he's just told Bible Man and Bible Girl this whole story.
Yeah. So they were just like standing there listening to this guy talk about evil gum and their superheroes being like, cool. Mm-hmm. Yes. What do you need to know?
Get to the fucking point. So, yeah. So, and this is our first meeting of Bible Girl. She knows this bad guy. It's the mayor of Maybe. His MO is making kids doubt their faith in Jesus. Right.
Yeah. And he's much like the Illuminati. He likes to put, you know, very overt hints about his Beals of bubble gum.
Yeah, right.
The label of the thing he's using.
Well, and so she checks it with this, or like, you know, her fucking plotometer or whatever. And she says she's getting some readings off of it. We also see that the mayor of Maybe is watching from afar through binoculars.
Well, when we say from afar, he appears to be about 9 Christian feet away.
Yeah. Well, that's afar, relatively. But this is where they find his entire box of atheism gum, his whole case.
Right. Using a device. So like, what was her device measuring? Like,
set it to atheism.
Radioactive atheism decay?
Yeah, so measuring doubt.
From gum?
Yeah. Non-beliefs.
Yeah, exactly.
And Bible Man immediately turns to Bible Girl and is like, here, go look into this. Because, you know, you're the one with the vagina.
Right. This sounds like ladies work to me. So Bible Girl runs back to the Bible copter to run the analysis. He has a helicopter in the animated version.
Okay. I want to talk about the funny thing that happens here. So they check in on Mayor of Maybe, and he goes, it's just a one-line thing. I don't know why they included it, but he goes, motherfucker stole my gum. I know that we like have different belief systems, but you can't take all my gum.
It's a handful for a quarter.
It's property. It says it right there. I was giving it away, but you can't just steal shit.
Yeah.
It's your thing.
He's got a giant shipping crate, like wood, that you have to like mm-hmm. pry apart with a pry bar of gum. I don't know where he's ordering that.
Full of gum, yeah.
We should sell those.
Right?
China.
Fuck yeah, some Beelzebub bull gum, yeah.
Get it to China.
Fuck yeah. So, okay. So she takes the bubblegum wrapper to the Bible copter and runs the analysis in the Bible copter.
Do they have a bubblegum? Do they have a dedicated flatbed scanner for checking atheist items that's in the helicopter? Mm-hmm, is that a good use of helicopter space?
Well, clearly, obviously, like you said, she was never going to need it, but here we are.
Okay, no, fair enough.
But so she gets some readings off of it. She sends that back to HQ, where we see Cypher, who we'll recall from the live action episodes. That's some of Bible Man's best friends. But then Emmanuel's mom, the doubting girl from the beginning, she comes to ask Bible Girl to fucking exorcise the doubt demons or whatever.
Yeah, she interrupts the story that's about her kid to make it about her kid. She might as well wander in between them and be like, my baby. And they're like, no,
that's what we're doing here.
We're working on it.
This could be an email.
Also, we haven't mentioned this yet, but the hands on these animated characters are terrifyingly large. They've got the big fucking, the hot dog fingers. It's scary shit. Yeah. So, but the little daughter says, all I said was that maybe the Bible wasn't true. And I'm like, well, that's maybe the Bible isn't all true. You know, that's pretty solid.
Cartoon Noah pops up behind the pew. It's got a point.
Yeah, it's a good point that she made there. Let me get some of this gum. But Bible Girl's like, well, I guess if you don't believe in God, you don't want to hear this story that I'm going to tell.
Jeez, it's your show. You can have your character make good arguments. It said, well, then I guess you don't want any ice cream, bitch, said Bible Girl in the story in which she's a hero.
Yeah, so Emmanuel's like, well, I will suspend my doubt long enough to hear a story with my sister and everything. So then,
a fucking story. I like a fucking story.
We doodly do our way into the story of the first gospel sermon ever preached, and like the animation gets even worse.
Yeah, we're now animating with fucking GIFs. If the animation gets any worse, someone from PureFlix is just going to like show up at my house with finger puppets and be like, all right, I'm here. I'm here. This is Jesus.
It's really rough. And basically, we're getting the idea that, you know, stories are to Bible stories as animation is to like me moving around construction paper and getting a cut while I'm doing it. Why would they make it so much worse?
Yeah, so we see Jesus ascend to the heavens, right?
it's South Park for it's Terrence and Philippians is what we're getting right now.
Well done. Yeah, so we see the South Park disciples. They're all carrying their plates into dinner. Now there's no food on the plates because animating food would have been a whole fucking thing. So they're all just bringing empty plates to dinner, and then a storm blows through and a flame appears over everybody's head, and they all started speaking different languages.
Someone should have told Bible Girl that this isn't one of the stories you want to visualize because it's fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, right. So, and Emmanuel actually does that, right? So we back out of it like in Princess Bride, you know, like we back out of the story for her to call bullshit and be like, wait, their heads would catch on fire. This is dumb. And I'm like, this is good gum.
She's like, no, it's magic. Magic.
It's fire. Fucking magic, though.
All right, we'll get you ice cream or something. Fuck.
So during this interruption, though, Bible Man pulls up with Pastor Pets and the big crate of gum. And Cypher calls in with the analysis. He says, and I had to write this line down, that the gum contains, quote, a hidden cumulative compounding compound with a targeting saturation level.
Fuck yeah. Oh, it's techno babble for when you think the earth is flat.
Well, it's techno babble mm-hmm. for when you're like, nobody over six is going to watch this, right?
Yeah, that's the best part, yeah. Right? Because you're already stupid, right? You're reading that Fox News article about how up is where heaven is. Right. And you're like, oh, how about it's a compound.
But all they're saying is, like, the more atheist gum, the more doubt.
Yes.
And they needed a molecular analysis for that concept.
Right, yeah. But so having established that, we now go back to the more cheaply animated story so that we can get 12 full minutes out of our animation budget, I guess. Now, this is, of course, where everybody starts speaking in tongues, right? And everybody outside is like, wow, how would they know all these languages? And I'm like, well, unless you knew those guys, you wouldn't know that they didn't know those languages to begin with.
Yeah. Also, it's a story. The framing of this story, because we hear Christians use this all the time, is fucking crazy because they're like, but think about it. How could all of those people have learned all those languages and done all those simultaneous backflips? And I'm like, you, I don't believe you,
right.
Not them.
You're lying.
So, you, it's you.
Is what I've been saying this whole time.
But also, even if they did, right? Like, even if you could prove that it happened, that everybody was walking by, you know, heard their own language. How many languages could that possibly be? Like 11, 15, something like that? There's like a bunch of them. It's not that unusual that they would know that many languages at this time, right? Like not like amongst a big group of people.
Right. People would be like, oh, right over there. You're talking to me. Okay, I'm going to, well, let's group up in languages. This is perfect. This makes sense.
Right. But yeah, but so then with his head still flaming, Peter goes out to deliver the first gospel sermon. I guess the head flaming thing would still be impressive regardless of the voice stuff.
Right? Yeah. He's like, hey, everybody, going to give the first ever gospel sermon. And nobody's paying attention. He's like, also, my head's on fire. Maybe focus up. Head's on fire.
Say, this is going to be in a cartoon someday. Technically a cartoon. So, but then she she's like, and 3,000 people were baptized in the name of Jesus. End of story. And Emmanuel's like, yeah, it's a neat story, but I've heard better. And I'm like, go, Manny. Like cartoon Noah pops up and she's like, huh? Huh?
Greatest story ever told. I've heard so many better stories just now, like in playtime. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Not even a neat story.
Sorry. The thing you told me in order for me to stop believing that the Bible might still be just a book of stories is that one time everyone's head caught on fire and they spoke all the world's languages simultaneously.
And now I'm supposed to be convinced.
That's supposed to assuage my doubts.
I'm 7 and one of my fellow 7-year-olds told me a story and coughed straight into my mouth. Better story. Better story.
Yep, better story.
All that happened was spilled some milk out of his nose.
So, yeah. And so, and this is where they find out that she's eaten a lot of the atheist gum. So her sister cuts in. And
I thought Quentin Tarantino was going to run in and hit her in the fucking heart with a crucifix. There's this moment of completely unnecessary tension where Bible girl loses her shit. She's like, fuck, she's OD'd. Oh, God. Oh, God. Let's just drive her body by the hospital and drop her in the parking lot. Oh, fuck.
Stop doing CPR. That's nothing.
I can't go back. I can't go back.
You broke her ribs.
Everyone should carry Narcan.
But yeah, but at this point, her sister Faith springs into action. And she's like, but sister, remember our names are all Christian-y, right? Emmanuel and Faith? Come on, it'd be weird if you weren't Christian.
Yeah.
And I guess that does it.
Yeah, because Emmanuel, it's Hebrew for God is with us, and Faith is a word. It means faith.
It's faith. English for faith. Faith. Yeah. Yes. So
my name is God's Not Dead He's, and your name is Shirley. We're the alive sisters.
We get a lot more questions about my name than hers.
Yeah, right. No, she's like, oh, now I believe God is with us. The gum is undone. But outside, the mayor of Maybe is about to make off with the Bible copter and that case of atheist gum. He's going to drop the atheist gum from the Bible copter so everybody will think it's Bible Man's gum and they'll all eat it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not sure what you guys have going on in your version of the episode, but I'm stealing your car. My bit for the episode is vehicular theft.
So they all come out to confront him and they're like, not so fast. And he's like, well, I don't know. The mayor of Maybe's like, I think that 7-year-old girl is on my side. And I'm like, well, that's not making you look better, man. I don't think that.
You don't get to steal our car if a 7-year-old girl
right,
on
that
your
doesn't
side.
Help.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, the Bible side wins here. But the way they win, according to them, is the mayor of Maybe, Waluigi, being like, hey, kid, be honest. The Bible's fucking dumb, right?
Come right. on. It's fake. You know it's fake.
And then the kid is like, I'm going to get in trouble if I say that it is dumb. Mustard seed mountains or something.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, but then, and the gum, I guess, at this point becomes sentient and rebels against the mayor of Maybe.
Yeah.
What? I don't know why the gum would suddenly change.
That's happened with some of my atheist compounds that I've made.
Oh, okay. Well, you put enough atheist compound, you put the compounding compound okay. in there. Yeah. And
I should have only compounded it once. That was, I think, the problem.
Can I hit you with my Heathian theory?
Oh, please do.
because this is what I created in my brain, and it may have been out of madness, but I would like you to accept it with open hearts. I think the gum is the devil, and when the little girl quotes the Bible, it doesn't like that.
So it explodes.
Oh.
So it runs away.
The power of Christ compels the gum.
Compels the gum away.
Oh, okay. Like, so her faith, her mustard seed faith moved the mountain of bubble gum. Yeah. Okay.
Beelzebubba chubba.
That's definitely what happened. I don't like that you figured that out.
Yep. So and the bubble gum explodes all over the helicopter. Then Bible Girl uses the helicopter to blow a giant bubble that they capture the mayor of Maybe in, saving the day.
Sort of. But he, like, they don't capture, he just, like,
no,
goes,
he just floats
he's
away.
Gone
yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. And he gets away. Yeah, they actually aided in his escape. So what they've done is probably illegal. but hey, at least we didn't have to watch that grown ass man play swords at the end of this one.
That's true.
I'm going to watch James Lindsay do it.
Yeah.
but Bible Man has learned something here today. It's fucking meaningless Jesus words.
Come on, man. Talk about your fucking failed wineups. I'll tell you, kids, the mayor of Maybe might have... Sorry, come back. I'm just... Oh, God, I miss her so much. Oh, God, I thought I could do this. I thought it was okay. I thought I could go back to work already, but I'm not. Truly, it's fucking too soon after the breakup nonsense.
Well, yeah, because he's just nonsense. I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing.
Yeah. There's a long pause at the very end of this thing, and then it's just like, I'm not ashamed, by the way. Did I mention that?
Guys probably thought I was ashamed.
I'm not.
That this was what
you're
I, my
ashamed.
Dad told my dad I was going to be doing voice acting, and he wasn't as proud as I thought he would be.
I thought he would be really psyched to hear I was the new Bible Man. But he said, like in the show, and I said, well, it's a Bible Man show. He said, you said that weird.
I got the part of Tevye when I was in 9th grade. That like never happens.
So, yeah. So, and by the way, I want to point out that the guy who was doing the Waluigi character was also the guy doing the voice of Pastor Pats, right? And also, hey, all the animators are listed with just a first initial because apparently people wanted credit for this at the same rate that they wanted credit for Melania the movie.
Yes. The credits are all just blurred out.
Yeah. Yes. All right, well, secure the knowledge that whenever I'm sad, there are 25 more episodes like this to make me happy. We're going to wrap up for the night, and we'll look forward to the next.
God Awful Minis.
Bible Man! Bible Man!
He's going to wear the thing and helmet.
They just read the credits with the voice modulator from, like, The Kidnapper.
Fart.
Before we're left to linger on your tongue, I want to remind you that there are still tickets available to see God Awful Movies Live in San Francisco on Good Friday. That's April 3rd. GodAwfulMoviesLive.com or check the show notes. Anyway, that's all the blasphemy we've got for you tonight. We'll be back in 10,022 minutes with more. If you can't wait that long, be on the lookout for a brand new episode of our Sister Soul's Hot Friend God Awful Movies, debuting at 7 noon Eastern on Tuesday, and an even newer episode of our Hamster Soul Citation Needed, debuting at noon Eastern on Wednesday. Obviously, I can't shut the fuck up until I thank Heath Enright for being good, Eli Bosnick for being bad, and Lucinda Illusions for being well, but not well enough to record quite yet. Still overcoming that COVID, but she's doing a lot better. She appreciates all your well wishes. Also want to thank Matt with 1T for providing this week's Farnsworth quote, and apologies for all the shit we've talked on this show about people who spell Matt with 1T. I blame Matt Staver. You should too. Incidentally, I am running critically low on Farnsworth quotes, so if you've got a blog, a YouTube channel, an Instagram, an Etsy store, a podcast, or whatever that you'd like to promote, or if you just get a kick out of hearing your voice on the show, or if you have like a funny, clever way to do it, just send it to us. Try to keep it under 30 seconds. You can send it to scathingnews@gmail.com because that's where everybody started sending them anyway. But most of all, of course, I want to thank this week's finest folks and last week's Mike Marcus, Matt, Virgil, Kirby, Zafri, Efron, Herring, Hieronymus, Annette, Farron, Stubby One, Otter, IA, and Nicholas. Mike, Marcus, Matt, and Virgil, whose erections are so impressive, Alex Honnold asked if he could climb them. Kirby, Zafri, Hieronymus, and Annette, who are hot enough to burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Farron, Stubby, Otter, and Nicholas were so cool, Ice had to pay him royalties to use the name. Together, these 12 tasty treats traded treasure for taboo tirades towards the tabernacle this week by giving us money. Not everybody has money, but if you do, we'll take it. You can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/scathingatheist, whereby you'll earn early access to an extended ad-free version of every episode, or you can make a one-time donation by clicking on the donate button on the right side of the homepage at scathingatheist.com. And if you'd like to help, but not in a money sort of way, you can also help a ton by leaving a 5-star review, telling a friend about the show, and following us on social media. And speaking of social media, Tim Robson handles that for us, and our audio engineer is Morgan Clark, who also wrote all the music that was used in this episode, which was used with permission. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com.
The simulation could not be more obvious. The knob is twisted all the way to the right, and the two drunk scientists are just weeping on top of the machine that someone is in going, I don't know, man. They just all want to watch Netflix, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
I guess they just don't have a line. Let's do a fun one next. Let's do one where they don't have hands. Do you remember when we did No Feet? Yes. No Feet Universe was so fun.
Hot Dog Fingers was fun. We had fun with
Hot
that.
Hot Dog Fingers was great. And then they said, they you got to do fascism, one serious though. One. Yeah, they did do fascism.
They did Hot
hard.
Dog Finger fascism. I did not see that coming.
Because they were so delicious when you put them in ovens.
Obviously, we should have seen that coming.
Well done, Elaine. Well, way to tie it together. Headlines me. This content is scanned credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm to their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org. This podcast is a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm LLC and was created without the use of generative AI. Its contents may not be used for AI training. Copyright 2026, all rights reserved.